And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, we examine what happens when God makes a request of us. It gets reviewed. Did we get the job done? Or do we make excuses? If God gives us a task, he expects us to get her done. Next, what happens when the Lord asks us to do something that does not make sense? Does God do this? You bet, because we do not always know or understand his ways, but are always required to trust him. And finally, we assess the parable of the two men at the temple. One was good and one was bad. One thought he was terrific. One thought he was terrible. When they finished, it turns out they were both wrong. Who do we respond to above all others?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I got to put my glasses on just to see. That's part of prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. You can text us, 214-210-8483. By the way, I can say it really fast. Ready? 214-210-8483. That's pretty fast, right? Or 214-210-8483. You can call us at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. When you do that, awesome Jennifer will answer. She's filling in for Terrific Tea today, and you'll get a chance to say hi to her. Here's the key to remember. We do all of this so that we can share Bible trivia, praise reports, prayer requests. Maybe you have a question about something. Maybe you just want to share something that the Lord's doing. Just the best that you can do with the best that you can do so we can encourage one another to be strengthened in the Lord and to draw closer one step at a time. Here's your trivia question. How did Jesus Christ respond to his parents when he was, according to them, lost, and they found him and said, "Son, why did you do this to us?" How did Jesus respond to his parents when they found him when they thought he was lost? Doesn't have to be a perfect answer. You can just get in the general ballpark. You'll be fine. You're welcome to call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. For those that are trying to figure it out, that story is going to be in the Gospel of Luke. So that gives you a chance to look it up in the Gospel of Luke. Okay. Or I can go, "Luke, I am your father." You know, that kind of thing. All right, so you have that chance to do that. Let's do a replay on the website so you guys can remember to go there, because that's where we receive our donations. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. So somebody's calling in. We're going to assume right now it's probably for the trivia. Trivia question, really forward. It's like, how did Jesus respond? Remember, his parents are like, And I always bring this up because it's so fascinating. I'm not going to say what Jesus said, but just think for a moment, if you are Joseph and Mary and you lost Jesus. I've had my kid missing for 20 seconds in a mall, and I almost lost my head. Right? Could you imagine, multiple days, and you're like, okay, but this is the Son of God. Wow. I just think that'd be an intense moment. All right, are we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Billy.
Hey, Billy. How are you?
Good, sir.
Awesome. Okay, so we want to know how Jesus responded to his parents when they were like, why did you do this to us?
He was in his father's house. They should have known where to find him.
That is exactly correct. Excellent job. And so the two things Jesus said to them is, why? How did you not know I'd be in my dad's house? How did you not know I'd be in my father's house? It's like, what?
Correct.
What are you missing? Yes. But they did miss it. Excellent answer. Excellent job. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. Billy stepping in, doing a great job. Okay. Just love it, right? That's just the grace of God. I just think, Jesus knew. I mean, a lot of people are like, well, did he know that he was, going to do the things he was going to do? He knew at 12. At 12, I didn't even know how to clean up my room. Can I at least be, let's be honest. That was not the highlight of my parents thinking Dave is a great kid. Okay. All right. Just being honest. All right. Okay. I want to talk to you about something that's really important, and I want you to understand this. I'm going to do my best. This never goes perfect, but it is what it is. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to you. I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them, but put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. Okay? That is a command from God through Samuel to Saul. Samuel is the prophet. Now, there's a lot of people that are going, well, that wasn't very nice of God. What people fail to understand is that by not eliminating the Amalekites, that would bring death sentences on all the people of Israel. So it's like the guy's like going, they're going to try and kill you, and that's how it's going to go. And you have two choices. You can take them out or you can be taken out. So God told them, go take care of this, get it done. So Saul then, in theory, goes and accomplishes the task. Many of you know the story, how he went there. And he did not do what the Lord said. And this is what the Lord said to Samuel. Verse 11, I regret that I made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. So for those people that don't think that prophets or powerful people in the kingdom get angry, don't look at that portion where Jesus went to the temple and drove everybody out with whips. Okay? Early in the morning, Samuel got up to meet Saul, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down towards Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? I want you to get how Saul perceived himself so that you and I, who have tasks before the Lord, are very careful. Saul thought he did a good enough job that he built a monument to himself. I'm so good at what I do. I think I'll give myself a plaque. Am I on the wall of great accomplishments? I should be. I did it. The ultimate irony is he built a monument to the great things he's accomplished, and he didn't even do what the Lord asked. Now, if that is not a hesitation moment for Christians, then we're missing something. Because it's the Lord who says, do this, and we like go, oh, sure. And what a great job I did in doing that, don't you think, Lord? In fact, I'm going to give myself a participation trophy. It's just like, you didn't even do what God asked. And yet, you're going to give yourself a pat on the back? Hey, I know that some things that the Lord asks do not seem like they're real understandable. We'll get to that in the next segment. But the reality check is the last people that should be giving themselves pats on the back for doing the great things that God has set before us is you and I, as illustrated by Jesus, who said, if you've done everything that you're supposed to do, say we are worthless servants. Because the reality check for all of us is that every good thing that you and I ever do, we do it through God and because of God and because of the breath of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God. And then all those other dumb things we do are all those things that we do apart from God. Because why? Because it's in our grandparents and we're really good at it. Really good at not listening, running away, doing the wrong things, and putting ourselves in the wrong place. It's true. And yet we build monuments to ourselves. Wow. All right, we'll take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. And you might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like these people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here comes our next trivia question. This is a good one, a really good one. All right, here we go. Where did Jesus encounter his first temptations? In other words, where did he go? Where was he sent? Or where was he led to go through his first level of temptations? Now, the reason that I bring that up as the first is because all throughout the ministry, the enemy was trying to come at Jesus. There's no question about that. And even at the cross, he had that opportunity, not necessarily the temptation, but the opportunity to turn the other way. He did not. But where was the first place that Jesus went? Where was he sent to go through his testings or his temptations? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. People that are sending in their texts are doing an excellent job. So props for Joy Ann, Cordelia, and Eric and Deb for that right off the bat. And I want to make sure you all get that. I'm sure that Al will be coming in if he can. He always does it unless he's busy. In the meantime, if you think you know, like I said, where was Jesus sent for his first set of temptations, you can call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483 or email david@hemustincrease.org. I'm feeling bad for awesome Jennifer because she's going to have to endure the jokes. Oh, well. That's all I can give you. That's all I got for you. Oh, well. Here we go. I got a few of those quick one-liners. I really like some of these because some of these are fresh and new. What did pirates call Noah's boat? What did pirates call Noah's boat? The Ark. Okay, I'm not going to really disagree with that. Why did Boaz hate lying? Because he loved the truth. Get it? Truth, but Ruth. See, that's who he loved. And then
mission failed. We'll get him next time.
Well, that's a good play. Thank you very much. Okay. Here's a terrible one. Why didn't anyone want to fight Goliath? Because it seemed like a giant ordeal. Okay.
Say what?
Yeah. That's not very good. What king liked to do things on his own? This is a good one. Solomon.
Dear God, no.
Okay, that's enough. That's right, folks. Nothing but top quality, high dollar level entertainment, encouragement, and education on this show. The trivia question, as is where was Jesus sent for his temptation? This first round, but let's just say, where was Jesus sent for his temptations? That's the easiest way to say it. If you think you know the answer, you can call in to 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Okay, I want to go to this next section in this teaching, and then if nobody calls in, I'll give the answer at the end of the segment. So many people know the story of Naaman, okay? Naaman was a commander of the army and the king of Aram, okay? So I'm going to pick this up from 2 Kings 5, chapter 2, except somebody's going to call in, so we'll probably take that first. But we're going to talk about Naaman. Remember, he's the powerful, commanding soldier that was full of leprosy. So we're going to cover that in just a split second. Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Mary again. And do you want to give the question?
I'll give the question, then you can give me the answer. Here we go. The question is, where was Jesus? Where was he sent for his temptations? Where was he sent?
It was in the desert.
That is right, Mary. Good job, Mary. The spirit led him into the wilderness, into the desert. Good job, Mary. That's good job. Good work.
All righty. Thank you.
All right.
And I'm going to hang up.
Okay. God bless you.
Okay.
Okay.
And I hope you're doing well in your studies.
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mary. All right. See? Like the burger. That's how we want that. All right, now don't forget Naaman. So Naaman, powerful commander, right? Very powerful commander. Their armies of Aram raid this area, and this young girl from Israel, she's taken captive, okay? And that's unfortunate, but we're just following the story. So in 2 Kings 5:3, she said to her mistress, "If my master would only see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So this young girl who's taken captive, Under the family of Naaman, who has leprosy, is there somebody that can heal me of my leprosy? I'm a powerful king. I'm a powerful commander. I serve under the king. Yeah, I need to get that taken care of. All right. So Naaman goes to his master, tells him what the girl says, and then the king says, "Oh, by all means, I'll send a letter. I'll send a letter telling the king of Israel." Verse 6, the letter then he took to the king of Israel read this. "This is the letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to cure of leprosy? He's trying to pick a fight with me." When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know there's a prophet in Israel." So Elijah tells the king, "Send the guy over here. I'll take care of this." Right? So Naaman went with his horses, okay, and chariots, and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored." Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned off and went in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had asked you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleaned?" So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as a man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. Listen to this story. You got to get the full, I can never communicate it fully. Here's a very powerful commander of an army. He goes, he has a letter, brings it to the king. The king's like, "I can't do anything about this." The prophet says, "Send him over to my house. I'll take care of this." They send him over. He goes to Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't even come out of the door. Okay, he doesn't even get up. It's like, "Yeah, I'll stay here. I'm just going to stick around here." Sends his servant out, and then he says, "Go wash 7 times in the river, in the Jordan River." And it's just like, the guy is like, "What? What?" And this is what Naaman said. "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the spot." So what Naaman thought was going to happen is that Elijah was going to take his hand and go, you know, "Vuba, vuba, vuba, ding, abracadabra," or something. And that's what he was looking for, some kind of major show. So he goes away mad. All of that to say this. He goes away mad, and his servants, who are wiser than he is, says, "Well, if the guy would have told you to do something incredible, you'd have done it. Now he's telling you to do something simple. Why aren't you doing it?" So he does what's simple, and he is cured. All of that to say this. God will ask you to do things. It is not your job nor my job to tell God the things that he has asked us to do are wise or stupid. It is not my place, your place, or anybody's place to tell God how to give directions. The Lord knows what he's doing. If the Lord asks you to do something, and from your perspective, it's like, how silly. Here's the answer. Do it anyway, even if it seems dumb. And why is that? Because God doesn't tell you and I everything that he's doing. God doesn't show you and I every result that he's doing. Sometimes God will have you do something that just seems like, well, that's just silly. And people say, God would never do that. Apparently, you've never read the Bible. I mean, if you don't think it's somewhat silly for the entire army of Israel to walk around Jericho and then they're all, you know, they're all playing. I mean, I always think of this as like a New Orleans band where they're all playing and they're all like singing and sing, and they go around and then they go sit down. Then they go around the next day, go around the next day, go around the next day. 13 times, by the way, they went around and they were singing and they never did a thing. Just played music and went around the place. How silly is that? Who cares? That's what God told them to do. It was that brought the walls down. How silly. What the Lord says to Moses, get him on through the sea. Get him on through the sea. The waters, how am I supposed to get him through the sea? Tell them to go forward. Because you know what Moses did? He said, stand by and watch. And God's like, move forward. Tell the guy to put his foot in the water. As soon as the priest put his foot in the water split. How silly. How God-like. If the Lord asks you to do something and you don't understand it, but you know it's the Lord, do it. He'll never ask you to do something contrary to the word. He'll never ask you to do something that's wrong or against his character. But even if it seems silly, do it. You want to know why you do it? Because God asked you to. That's why. All right, you can take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor. And talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la la la, la 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La la la, la 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces.
By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Think about that Christmas story. And it's not only is it true, but that's not even remotely close to the most embarrassing things that I've done throughout my adventure on this planet. I will tell you something I've done. I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but you guys might as well hear it. So for many, many, many years outside the grocery stores, they've had those self-water machines where you put money in and you, right? So I was told to go get water, and I went there and I pushed to put the money in and pushed all the buttons. I didn't know you had to have a receptacle to receive the water. The water just came rushing out. And I'm just looking at it going, how's this helping me? It's just like, oh, well. Story of my life right there. I'm sorry. That's just the kind of stuff that happens. All right, let's get the next trivia question going. This is a very specific one, and so if you're driving, you might not be able to get this one, and I understand that, so it's okay. Here is a very specific trivia question. What was the first miracle that Jesus did in the Gospel of Mark? Not Matthew, okay? Not Luke, right? Not John. What's the first miracle he did in the Gospel of Mark? That's the question. If you think you know, you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. In the meantime, while you're working on that, we're going to go ahead and do a little bit of history.
Let's go live.
All right, let me give a shout out to Al, first one to answer that question correctly. Nice job, Al. He's been working on that timing element. Okay, a couple things to tell you. For those that are Star Wars fans, I mean, there's some people are, some people aren't. 1999 on this day, Star Wars Episode 1 came out, and then in 2005, Episode 3 came out. Let's see, Episode 1, Phantom Menace, and then the Revenge of the Sith. 1536, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of Henry VIII, was in England, was beheaded for adultery because back then they didn't behead kings. see how that works? Aha! Two other things. One, 1910 on this day. Now, I thought about all the things that we've been going through in the last, like, so many years, like the last 15, 20 years. Listen to this. Halley's Comet. So when Halley's Comet passed by the Earth in 1910, the Earth basically passed through the tail of Halley's Comet. And the comet's tail was known to contain gases and carcinogens and different things that would people thought would end life on Earth and that people were going to die. And this caused a great panic, and people bought gas masks and they bought anti-comet pills and anti-comet umbrellas. You imagine holding an umbrella as you go through a comet. It's like, oh, that seems kind of dumb. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is because there's a lot of times throughout society where man has thought, uh-oh, this is it. And this was one of them. Basically, 111 years ago on this day, they thought the planet was going to come to an end. Just think about this. Like, wow, that's wild. And then finally, in 1992, Dan Quayle criticized Murphy Brown. Dan Quayle is the United States Vice President. He criticized the TV character Murphy Brown's moral values for having a child out of wedlock and promoting it like it was something fantastic. I'll just say Dan Quayle was correct. Hollywood has always been wrong, and they will always be wrong. Okay? That's how that works. Okay. Enough of my little commentary on my soapbox. Question, what's the first miracle that Jesus did in the Gospel of Mark? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the call-in. 214-210-8483 is the text. Okay? All right. Now, here we go. I want to talk to you because this is an extremely important teaching from Jesus. They're all important, of course. But this, in connection with what we're talking about, Saul, in the very beginning of this hour, we talked about Saul thinking he did such a great job patting himself on the back, didn't even do what the Lord said. In the next segment, we looked at Naaman doing something minor that the Lord asked him, but getting incredible results. And how, even if it doesn't always make sense, if the Lord brings it before you and wants you to do it, do it. And maybe you're praying for somebody. Maybe you're just saying hi to somebody. Maybe you're shaking somebody's hand. Maybe you're smiling at somebody. Maybe you send an email. Maybe you make a post of a passage. Maybe you share something that you're struggling with another person. Doesn't matter what it is. If you believe the Lord is leading and guiding you in it, do it. You don't have to understand it all. You'd be amazed how, if we're more responsive and obedient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, how many cool kingdom things happen. Okay? That's what we're really talking about. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. What do you think Jesus was teaching them? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later changed his mind. We just talked about this, by the way, about a week ago. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He said, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered, right? They're really proud that they got that answer right. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did, and even you saw this, and you did not repent and believe in him." Jesus is chiding the religious people for not responding to the unction of God's people, commandments, prophets, Holy Spirit, the whole thing. The Pharisees had rejected John and rejected the truth, even though they were religious. And I think we don't understand, and I've got to say this in a very careful manner, that the Pharisees today are not people outside of the church. Not by any means at all. That would be the worldly, the secular, right? That's the people outside the church. But certainly there are still Pharisees and Sadducees in the church. And so when the Lord has a task for us, your verbal response is important, but your actual response is like the key ticket in doing it. So go do this. "Yes, sir, I'll do that." And then that person never does it. Or go do this. "No, I'm not doing that." "No, I got to do it." That difference is our sensitivity to the Lord. That difference is how we need to understand what it is that God asks of us and our willingness to do it. And let me just say this in the nicest terms. For those of us who are not responsive to the Lord, that's a disappointment to the mind and heart of God. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to point out that you and I, me included, I am with you, that sometimes the Lord sets something before us, asks something of us, requires something of us, and we're less than to do it. Even if we'll give lip service about it, we're just not doing it. Same thing that Saul did. And that, again, it goes back to that same thing. If God gives us something to do, do it. If it doesn't make sense, who cares? Just do it because the Lord's given it to you. And I think what people do is they look at Scripture and they think, well, this is kind of optional. Now, I want you to tell me where it says that it's optional for you and I to fellowship with other Christians. Tell me where it says this is an option. You may disregard this. I want you to tell me where it says that you and I have an option to about serving other people or serving people in the church. Just show me where that is. It says you can opt out by clicking here. Where does it say that?
It doesn't say it. We got to be a part of that. This idea that we can be Christians by ourselves is what the enemy desires us to think so he can pick us off. I mean, isn't that terrible? It's terrible. So I think it's horrendous. So what is it that we need to be aware of? And that is, you can't opt out. We got to be in. We got to be all in fellowship. Let me just say this, in receiving the gospel, in sharing the gospel, in loving God, in loving other people, in spending time in prayer, in spending time in the word. There is no opt out. There is no, I'm going to put this on a snooze for 30 days. Okay, that I think they got, don't they have? They have that in Facebook where you snooze somebody for 30 days. Guess what you can't do with God? Snooze for 30 days. Not allowed. It's not acceptable to the kingdom of God and not acceptable to the king. And he wants us to be responsive to him. Maybe he asks you to say something to somebody who you're afraid to witness to. I understand. Sometimes I don't want to say anything. Believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe. But then I can also have to deal with the author and not the audience, and I don't want God to be mad at me. I got enough people mad at me. I don't want God mad at me. It's not worth it. It's just too hard. It's too difficult. Just do what the Lord puts before you. Accomplish it. No opting out. Whether you're sharing the gospel, whether you're spending time in prayer, more devoted time in prayer, more devoted time in the word, whether you're loving God by embracing and obeying him and responding to him, or whether you're loving somebody else who's even hard to love, and I understand. Do it, because that's what God asks of us. And even if you do it and start off grudgingly, if you do it, you're doing it. Okay? All right. Trivia question I need to answer for you. What was the first miracle? And everybody who texted in got it right, driving out an evil spirit or casting out a demon from the man. Excellent job on everybody's part. I give you all high props for that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. You understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, listen, I've done a lot of interviews, and every once in a while you do an interview with somebody who's legendary, and he doesn't even know why he's legendary. And when I tell him, he's going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. The legendary Josh McDowell with us, co-authoring the book with his son, Sean, The Beauty of Intolerance, joins us live. Josh, are you there with us?
It's sure better to join you live than dead.
I love it.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for the last trivia question of the day. Notice how these have been more challenging, but then they make you think, and that's a big part of this process, is to get us to think and to be deep into the Word, based on the Beatitudes. Okay? Everybody knows where Matthew 5, based on the Beatitudes. Which is the last blessed? Okay. Now, you know what the Beatitudes are. Those are the attitudes that you should be, right? The Beatitudes. What's the last blessed? Right? Blessed, blessed, blessed. Okay. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. That will give you the opportunity to respond to what is the last blessed. I know that there's many people going to Matthew 5 right now looking it up, but that's what I want you to do. Don't Google it. That's not as fun. All right. In the meantime, what we're going to do is a Greek word. So let's do our Greek sound. I just tell people, it just makes me think of baklava. I don't know. That's just because it's like, you know, I don't know what it is. All right, now Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit." So the word powerful, watch this, very, very cool. The word powerful in the Greek is energes, from which we get the word energetic. Even energy, it stems from this word. So it's only used two other times in the entire New Testament. So it's used here in Hebrews 4:12, 1 Corinthians 16:9, and then also in Philemon verse 6. It denotes something that is active and effective. It is the opposite of idle, inactive, or ineffective. So the word powerful, energis, is where it says the word of God is living and powerful. Isn't that just, I just think stuff like that is so fantastic. I love stuff like that. All right. So the last trivia question of the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5, what's the last one? What's the last be happy? Okay. Like, be happy, blessed are they, blessed, you can also be happy, be blessed, be smiley, well, I don't know about be smiley, but, you know, be happy is good. I want to finish this up and talking about this whole element, and the whole, I know you guys understand where I'm going with this, but I want to put a capsule on it, or I want to put a kind of a summary statement on it. When we talk to one another about being a successful Christian, too many people do that same thing. Well, how's the bank account? And they determine successful Christianity by the bank account. The widow woman who gave two mites, gave severely less than most other people gave by volume, certainly will have a bigger mansion than those that make proclamation while they give. The bottom line to that is it's not an issue of our success being understood from a financial or a worldly approval point of view. The world will approve demonic success all the time. Did you hear that? The world will approve demonic success all the time. But the approval from God That is what we as Bible-believing, born-again Christians should seek. Acts chapter 5, verse 27. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Okay? Everybody that sits there and says, well, it says you're supposed to obey the government, not when the government's orders are in contradiction to God's commands. Period. Period. You are to obey God rather than human beings. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." Okay, now this is, let's see if we can really get into the theology of this. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings." Okay, I guess we just got into the theology, got in, got out, that's it, I don't know. Why? Because it's not that complex. A.W. Tozer, right? This doesn't need a whole lot of exegetical response. That's right, doesn't. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." Da-ding! "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." John 15, just in case you're wondering how deep this goes. John 15, 12 through 15. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." You want to be a friend of Jesus? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Doesn't count if you don't do what he commands. Oh, no, I'm a friend of Jesus. I just don't do what he says. See that problem? "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I've made known to you." It's not overly complex, and the reason that I'm saying it this way is because it is a requirement. Successful Christianity is obedience to God. Ba-ding! You think, could you patent that? No, I probably should have. Rats. Successful Christianity is obedience to God. It's not going to be any other way. You, of course you're saved. Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. You're listening to this show. You're probably not listening unless you're saved. I mean, odds are pretty good. But you can't just say, get them saved. Now I'm going to sit in my blessed assurance. You've got to do what the Lord commands you to do. What's the complexity of what he commands us to do? I think everybody knows the summary. We don't really need to cover that. Let me just explain something to you. The word obey is akouo, okay? It means to hear with a response. It's to hear with a response. So you hear the Lord, and you respond to the Lord by doing what the Lord sets before us. Hapakeo is answering the door, where it's Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock," okay? That word is, that whole phrase in the Greek is hepakeo, which is answering the door, opening the door, ready to give a response. We got to respond. That's not legalism. That's not salvation by works. That's proving you really do love him instead of just saying it. You know how many people have said, oh, sure, I love God. And then they do all this stuff that shows that they don't love God or anybody else. Well, that ain't right. We all know it's not right. This isn't rocket science all the way through. I mean, there's some rocket science in it, but not here. Look, you want to be successful in the kingdom of God, do what God tells you to do. Because that's what produces that. And I'll tell you, people, I listen to this. I have these audiobooks because I have so many books I have to read per class. So there's like 6 to 7 books per 8 weeks, right? Which is a lot, right? So I got permission from the school to put them on. I have audiobooks so I can listen to some of them, even though it's only covering 2 hours a day. And the person was saying, you know, that confidence comes from this. And this is a theological person. I love this person. So there's no issues. But that, you know what? Confidence doesn't come from any of that stuff. Confidence comes from the Lord. And there's a confidence that comes from the Lord. And when you do what God wants you to do, you know he's on your side. I mean, you just know, oh, no, I'm doing this for the Lord. This is happening. I mean, you hate to use the terrible examples in the world, but sometimes the illustrations of them make a lot of sense. Remember the brothers that were on a mission from God? We're on a mission from God. We should be like that. We're on a mission from God. We should have that attitude. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think we'd be doing a lot better. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of close it out in prayer because I want to pray for Israel and pray for that whole situation. And I'm going to say this as nice as possible. Do what God tells you to do. Okay? It's much a much better Christian walk if we do what the Lord tells us to do. Before I do that, I will give the answer to the trivia question before we pray to close it out. And the trivia question was, what's the last beatitude? Blessed are those who are persecuted or mocked, or any of those phrases would have been fine, anything that anybody says along that. But the persecuted are blessed. Blessed are you if you're persecuted for my name's sake, not because we're jerks, but for Christ's sake, for the gospel, not because we're obnoxious. Okay, I just want to make sure to make that distinction. Okay, that's the answer to the trivia question. Let's just pray over the audience and everybody else. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and praise you. I just want to thank you for Jennifer for filling in for T, and we ask you to bless T and bless Jennifer and thank her for an excellent job that she did. Fantastic. And we just ask you to bless Don and everybody who's involved with the radio station and all the stations, all the Christian stations in our country, that they would be continually committed to advancing the kingdom of God and encouraging the people of God. And we pray for this audience, and we ask that you would bless them and keep them safe and give them wisdom and insight into their situations and give them favor, Lord, because favor comes from you, and when it comes from you, it's unstoppable. And we pray for the peace of Israel. We simply ask you, Lord, to protect the apple of your eye. We don't want anybody being hurt, but we don't want anybody ignoring that this is precious to you. Israel is your city. Jerusalem is your city. Israel is your country. We bless you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.